desire your prayers again this morning. Thankful again for this opportunity to worship the Lord today. And it's, when you really think about it, it is quite a privilege to serve the Lord, is it not? Well, even beyond that, we'll say it's a blessing to serve the Lord. Because as the Scripture says, He daily loadeth us with benefits. And I want to pick up a little bit off of where we started last Sunday. I guess you could say this would be a part two. Last Sunday we talked about the victory formula. And I wrote up on the board the title, the victory formula, and wrote a little simple formula or equation on the board and with an answer. And I'll do a similar thing this morning, but I want to talk about the opposite of the victory formula. Let me write it on the board. I've written on the board, formula for defeat. Now, we can look at that title and think, well, that's not a very encouraging thought. But that's really not my burden this morning. My burden is more, you could say this message would be a message of warning for all of us, in fact. Not just for those that are out in sin. It's for those as well. But it's for all of us, those of us that are even living for the Lord right now, that we realize that there is a formula for defeat. We talked about a formula for victory last Sunday, and we spoke about King Asa. Now, I'll just recap a little bit with King Asa. He was king of Judah, and the formula that he used for victory was, first of all, he reformed his nation. And he followed God's laws and commandments and remembered all his covenants of old. And God was pleased with that. So that was the first step. The second step was he didn't just sit idly by, but he made himself useful to the Lord. He built up his nation, built up cities and walls and gates and bars and all those things to protect himself from the enemy. So he's proactive. Being active for God, and he was up and doing for the Lord. That was the second thing he did. And the third thing was when he came face to face with the enemy, and he was outnumbered almost 2-1 with this large host of the Ethiopians, over a million against his 580,000. He was overwhelmed, but he sought the Lord for help, and he prayed a simple prayer. And that was the final piece of this formula and the third part, and it equaled victory in the end. God gave him victory, and not only just victory over the Ethiopians and the host there, but blessed him with spoil. They were able to spoil the host of Ethiopians and brought back all the spoil to Judah, and King Asa shared it with everyone. And they used it to further promote their cause there. That was the formula for victory that King Asa used. Now, sadly, there was a turn of events where that was not the end of Asa. This was the beginning of Asa, was the victory side of it. But the end of Asa wasn't as good. And that's what I want to turn and read a little bit here this morning. In 2 Chronicles... 2 Chronicles, we'll just speak about chapter 15. We won't actually read much in chapter 15. There was something about in this process, Asa was given opportunities. He was given peace in his land, in the nation there. God blessed him with that. It was because he followed the Lord and his laws. But there's one little tidbit that we didn't cover last Sunday. And he took down all the groves and the vineyards and all the things, the high places that they were offering to these other foreign gods that his father and all had gathered together. And so he did away with all of those. But there, I should clarify that, not quite all of them, most of them. There's a little bit that he left, and we won't read about that at this time. But yet his heart was perfect towards the Lord. He had a desire there, and God blessed that. So God still blessed him in his efforts. But it came, in fact, we'll just read a little bit here in the 15th chapter, not all of it, but just a few verses here. And this is talking about the blessing of the Lord that he received in his nation there with peace. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." Now that's the part I want us to remember here this morning. You see, God is, he's a fair and just God. And a loving God. And a merciful God. But he's also a God of judgment. And only he can have that perfect balance. And quite honestly, we as humans, a lot of times, it's easy for us to get those things out of balance because we're human. But God is perfect and just in all of his judgment. And here he's saying, if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. And we'll read how that takes place later. It says, "For a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but all were vexed." And it goes on, explains, this is before Asa had turned to the Lord and reformed the nation. But here's something that happened after this. His neighbors, and his part of, before Israel, well, after Israel was divided, there was Judah. He was king of Judah. The king of Israel, they started building this city. And it was Baasha, king of Israel. And he came up and he built Ramah. And basically just to be a thorn in their side. And just to prohibit ones from coming and going to Judah freely. And just to be mean to him, basically. And there's more to this story, but just in a general sense, it was a frustration to Asa, king of Judah. He's like, "This is not right. I'm going to do something about this." And so king of Israel's building this city, and he built Ramah. And it goes on, chapter 16. And it says, "In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. And Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord of the king's house." Before I finish this, this is the beginning point, and I'm going to write this on the board again like I did last Sunday. King Asa took the first step. You can say it's the first one there. And I already asked the children last Sunday, and I think most of them, I think all of them got it right, that 1 + 1 = 3. We all agree to that? As always with the Lord, his ways are 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. Sorry. Pay attention to what I have written, not what I say. But the deal is here that the laws of mathematics never change. I want to tell you something. The law of God never changes either. Now, God may have mercy and make an exception occasionally for someone that only God is just and fair in that. We can't determine those things. Only God can. And God will change his mind occasionally, but his laws are always the same. Just like the law of gravity. Can you defy the laws of gravity? Try it. And there's other laws, but the laws of God are not just set in stone that Moses wrote, But their laws, they're eternal laws. They don't change. Laws of right and wrong, of good versus evil. And so it is with mathematics. Laws of mathematics, 1 plus 1 plus 1 always equals 3. Well, here King Asa took the first step in defeat. And how he did this is what we're just fixing to read here. In verse 2, King Asa saw a challenge. King Asa saw something that he wanted to take care of. He's like, I'm king of Judah here, and I see what the king of Israel is doing over there, and I don't like that, and I'm going to go take care of that. So here's what King Asa did. He brought out the silver and the gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go, break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they smote Ijon and Dan and Abinadab and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah and let his work cease. And King Asa and Asa the king took away Judah, or took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. So here we have King Asa. He got something done here. He kicked in the gear. He's like, you know what? I got a big army. I'm well able, well supplied. I can take care of these things myself. I see the obstacle. I see the challenge out there. And I don't like what I see, and I'm going to go take care of business. And that's exactly what he did. And he made a league with the king of Assyria. And we read this, and it's easy to think, well, that just makes sense. If you're king, you're in charge of things, and you see trouble, you take care of trouble, and take care of business. Well, yes, that is true. But there is an important ingredient here. Remember what happened when he came up against the Ethiopians. You see, that intimidation factor, you could say, kind of put King Asa back a step just a little bit. He's like, whoa, this is really bigger than I am. But in this situation, it was as if King Asa is like, you know what? I can take care of this. This is no big deal. Well, was it a big deal? So, I think of the scripture, every way of man is right in his own eyes. No doubt King Asa was laying there in bed at night thinking about this situation, thinking, you know what? I can take care of these guys. I got a big enough army. I'm well capable. I'm just going to go up there. First of all, I'm going to send... He knows he can't do it really by himself, but he's like, I got another option here that I'm going to put into place. I'm going to join a league with someone else here and kind of intimidate them back, saying, okay, now I got a buddy system here, and you better leave this building of the city. Well, he joined the league with King Assyria, and pretty simple. But notice what he said. He brought out the silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord. You see, that's where the problem was. This is the Lord's house. Let me say this again. This was the Lord's treasures. This was the Lord's house. Do you think he prayed to God and asked permission? God, Lord, can I use your money and use it as bribery, basically, to go form this other league and intimidate my enemy here? It doesn't give any record that King Asa asked the Lord for permission to use the Lord's substance here. He just went and did it on his own. I want to remind us again of the scripture I just quoted. Every way of man is right in his own eyes. He had justified and deceived himself into thinking this is the best thing to do. In this situation, this is what I have to do. And that's what he did. But I want to say that was the first part of this equation, this formula, that was ultimately going to lead to defeat. Now it looked like victory. Oh, he ran them off, tore down the city, wiped it out. Mission accomplished. Let's all go back home and live happily ever after. Well, sadly, that's not what happened. It goes on to the second part. King Asa had a visitor. In verse 7, chapter 16, let's read what happened here. And at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Now we'll get to this other part in the next couple of verses here in a moment, but let's just focus on what we just read. In other words, he's saying, you eliminated the possibilities of defeating the Syrians later down the road. You just made a league with them. That was, in my own words, stupid. But that's exactly what he did. He only, it was as if, well, you know the old saying talking about several different sayings that basically they mean you deal with adversity and with challenges today and the spur of the moment and with the knee-jerk reaction, well, take care of that, take care of that, and you're not looking into the future. That the things that you are saying or doing is actually adding up to ultimate future disaster. There's a lot of things that we could use as analogies. One that was mentioned recently was the airplanes, the large jumbo jets that carry anywhere from 200 to 300 people in them. You know, there's a lot of safety measures built into these jets. And I used to work at a Premier Turbines locally, and we repaired the jet engines that went on these some large jets. And it's one of those things where one guy could do one little tiny mismeasurement on some blades on this turbine wheel. One little thing like that. And it may even pass inspection because the next guy didn't catch it. And it may even pass through in the test lab. And they test these engines. And it may even pass that, you see. And it may get on the jet. And the test flight on the jet may be okay. But that particular measurement, you may just be a half of a thousandth off, which is much smaller than the width of a hair. But it looked like everything was great on the surface. And maybe the guy that was inspecting that, he was in a rush and a hurry, and he's going through all this, and yeah, it looks good, marked it off, and next day, yep, that looks good. Going on, passing in the test tunnel, everything's fine. But in the end, you realize there's actually been deaths caused because of simple little errors that it looked okay. We deceived ourselves and think, well, that's not a big deal. It checked out fine, but really it didn't because it was on the high side of a tolerance and the next one was on the low side of a tolerance and all these things added up. And in the end, there was ultimate interference and the blades were shredded in midair and then the plane crashes and then there's death. You see? And it's as if that's what King Asa was doing here. He was cutting corners, saying, well, this is the quickest way to resolve this. I'm not going to sit around and wait for 2 or 3 years for the Lord to do something. I'm going to take things in my own hands. I'm the king. I got to get things done here. That was his thinking, you see. And it ultimately got him into trouble, as we'll read. But here this prophet is coming to King Asa and saying, you messed up here. You relied upon the king of Assyria as your buffer, so to speak. You relied What he's really saying is you relied upon yourself. You decided this on your own. You didn't ask the Lord for permission. And you also used his substance to make this league. And he's saying, that's not good. And it goes on, verse 8. And the prophet starts reminding King Asa about what took place years prior to this. And he said, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host? That's what we talked about last Sunday. Over a million was an Ethiopian host. And King Asa goes, oh wow, I can't handle this. Lord, would you please help? And God did. God had mercy upon him. And he's reminding him, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host and very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. He's like, things worked perfectly according to the victory formula that we used last Sunday. And that's what Asa followed, King Asa, all the way to the T. And it equaled 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 3. It was victory. He got it. And all the benefits on top of that. But here it is. He's going down a slippery slope of defeat. Because the first step, he didn't rely upon the counsel of the Lord, didn't seek his advice. In the second part, let's read what he does. Verse 9, this is what the prophet's saying to King Asa here. He says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to shew himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Now let's just stop right there. That's where King Asa was years prior to this. His heart was perfect towards the Lord. And God saw that. And God had mercy and delivered him. Gave him the victory and all the spoils with it. And gave him peace in the land for years after that. God was pleased with that. You know, the Lord does the same today. We spoke about this before. But it's as if the Lord has this radar and he's seeking out any soul that has just the faintest little bit of turning toward him. And the faintest little faith and confidence in the Lord. And the Lord's going to, beep, beep, beep. Oh, there it is. I sense something there. I want to work with that. And that's what God does. Because God is a loving and merciful God. And he's not willing that any should perish. So he's walking about. Here it says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. And he found King Asa. Oh, there you are. Asa, I'm pleased with what you've been doing. And now you're asking for help. Of course I'm going to help you. And that's what happened in this battle with the Ethiopians. But now, the rest of this verse, the prophet is saying, this is a different story today, King Asa. He said, herein thou hast done foolishly. What did he do foolishly? What he just said earlier. He said, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God. That was the foolish part. It was something that you would have thought King Asa would have known. He would have known better. But I want to tell you something. You can deceive yourself. And that's exactly what happened with King Asa. He deceived himself. He rationalized in his mind thinking, this is the best way to do it. I want to remind us again, every way of man is right in his own eyes. You know, that includes all of us in here today. We can convince ourselves that this is the right thing to do at this time and totally block out the Lord. And say, well, it only makes sense. I got to do this. It's common sense. Well, everyone knows you got to do this and you got to do that. And it's like we got it all figured out. But in the end, it's defeat. And then we step back and like, well, what went wrong? Well, this is what happened with King Asa. I want to read another scripture real quick. Proverbs 1 and 7. Just a reminder that King Asa, you could say, was the perfect fool. Proverbs 1 and 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You see, King Asa got himself in a fix now. First of all, he didn't seek the Lord. And then second of all, when the prophet came to him, you know what King Asa did? Remember the verse we just read in Proverbs? Verse 10. We're just going to read part of this verse. And Asa was wroth with the seer, the prophet, and put him in prison. Put him in a prison house. For he was in a rage with him because of this thing. King Asa rejected the Lord. He rejected the prophet. But it was ultimately rejecting the Lord. The Lord was trying to warn King Asa here, this is not wise. You've done foolishly. Do you realize things could have changed quickly here for the better? If King Asa would have just humbled down and said, I am so sorry. I'm wrong. You are right. You know, that's some of the hardest things to say for all of us. I am wrong and you are right. Let's just be honest with ourselves. Is that not true? You know, King Asa would have been wise to do that with the prophet. He knew he was a prophet, but yet he had convinced himself so far into thinking he did the right thing that even when the prophet came to warn him and to reprove him, it's like, pfft. And then he took it a step further. Not only, I don't want to hear you. He's like, furthermore, I really don't like you and I'm going to throw you in prison just to prove that I am king and you're not. Flaunting his power and authority. And can you imagine what God was doing, looking down upon the situation, just shaking his head, thinking, what are you doing, King Asa? I gave you victory before. I saw the potential. And look what I blessed you with. Peace and abundance and prosperity and all those things. And now you're just thrown up by the wayside. You know, that is so easy to do. It's easier to see it in others than it is with ourselves, is it not? We can look on others and see how they waste everything God has given them. And we just shake our heads and think, why? That doesn't make sense. That doesn't add up. It's like 1 + 1 = 3, you know? It's not adding up. And they're wasting all that. It's so easy to see it in others. So difficult to see it in ourselves. But this is a warning and a caution to all of us this morning. When we start relying upon our own wisdom and our understanding, there's another scripture in Psalms 118 that says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Do you know, it's so easy to say confidence in man as in someone else. You're like, oh, I believe what they're saying, that's good. No. It gets closer to confidence in man. That can mean you and I. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in ourselves and in man. Well, Asa found out the hard way. And that was his second part. He rejected the reproof and the warning from God. He ignored it. Shrugged it off. Ah, no big deal. Threw the prophet in prison. I can't imagine. I mean, but he did it. He was convinced he was right. And the prophet was wrong. And ultimately, God, you must have been wrong too. Oh, but you know, that is life. It is so easy to get caught up in our own little world. We get this tunnel vision, and it's all about me, myself, and I. And we push God aside, like kicking to the curb and say, and we so easily forget what God has done for us, and that the formula for victory really does work. And that's obviously what happened with King Asa. He forgot that. Ignored it, shrugged it off. And here, I'm going to take liberty to say this is the third and final part. It's as if King Asa took it a step further than just rejecting God and the prophet. Read what else he did here. The rest of this verse. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. How foolish. All over a simple decision, well, he compounded it, but a simple decision of not seeking the Lord's advice, trusting in his own wisdom on his one decision here, And now this ripple effect. Here comes the prophet. The prophet confronts him, reproves him, and he goes, bah. And then he thinks about it some more. No, that's not good enough. You're going to prison, buddy. Puts him in prison. And then if that's not enough, it's as if, I'll put it this way. It was the retaliation, the vengeance in his heart of King Asa. He's like, oh, how dare the prophet to come tell me that. That is not right. You know what? I'm going to punish some more people just because I can and I'm king. And that's exactly what he did. He was being a bully. Can you imagine? Someone that... I want to tell us something this morning. That can be all of us here this morning. It's so easy. When things are going wrong in our life, and we receive some reproof or correction from somebody or ultimately from the Lord, and we're like, no, I'm not going to accept that. And to prove the point, I'm going to retaliate and do something back against you just to prove that I'm not listening to you. I'm not accepting anything you're telling me. It's as if he added an exclamation point at the end of no. You know? And that's exactly what he did. So, you could say step three, in my mind, is retaliating against God and His messenger and others. Innocent bystanders, perhaps. You know, King Asa, I'm just taking liberty here. It may have been the ones that allowed this prophet to come in to see him. It may have been some of his own officers and command, and maybe some other people that he walked around and maybe they kind of gave him this, you know, he's like, I don't know what he did. But he was acting in a rage, just out of control, and just oppressed some of the people just for the fun of it, because I can. You know, God doesn't smile upon that at all. Remember what I read earlier? He says in chapter 15, it says, the Lord is with you while ye be with Him. And if you seek Him, He will be found of you. But if ye forsake Him, He will forsake you. You know, that's what is happening to this world now. Not just our nation, but the whole world. They have forsaken God in general.
America.
Yes. They've forsaken God, so guess what? God is forsaking them. And when God leaves something or somebody, can any good come from that? When the Spirit of God is removed, what happens? The spirit of the enemy comes in. And that's what had happened with King Asa. It's like he breached the point, finally pushed it to the extent here. First of all, he didn't seek the Lord's counsel. Then secondly, he just rejected the reproof. And thirdly, it's like, you know what? I'm just going to all the way, put the throttle all the way down. Say, I'm just going to prove to you all that he despised this reproof and took action upon it. It's one thing to just sit back and in your heart say, no, I'm not going to take it. But it's another thing when you put action to that. And that's exactly what King Asa did. He put into action the thoughts and the intents of his heart and his mind. And I want to tell us something. God sees those things. And God sees those things in our hearts welling up within us. And He'll send someone our way, in whatever capacity, to warn us and to caution us, you better be careful. If you forsake me, I'm going to forsake you. And King Asa pushed all the way through that and said, I don't care. I'll show you what I'm going to do. And he rejected God, not just in his heart, but in his action. Well, let's see what happens with King Asa. Verse 12. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, notice the downward slippery slope here. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. So again, he's just continuing to ignore and reject the Lord, saying, nope, Nope. Not going to take it. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. So if you read the first part of the 16th chapter, it was the 6th and 30th year. So for 5 years, and if you read the rest of the story, basically King Asa, for 6 years, he had wars. He was not at peace. And then he gets this disease, and he's not at peace in his heart either. And then he dies. You know what I call that? A formula for defeat. That's how King Asa concluded his life. The beginning started out so wonderful, so great. It was encouraging, inspiring, how God was working and moving and blessing. But King Asa forgot. King Asa forsook the Lord. King Asa rejected the Lord. King Asa did not seek the Lord as he should have. He rejected him on every side. And then God rejected him. Said, okay, if that's how you want it, that's how it's going to be. You know, it's the same with you and I today. And our loved ones that we pray for, it's as if they're following this formula for defeat and just like, oh Lord, have mercy. Send something to get their attention. And God will in His mercy. And then sometimes they reject that too. And then it comes to a point where they get to the last stage and then they start retaliating and doing damage not just to others, but it's to themselves. Further deceiving themselves that because they're thinking that actually others are fighting against me. You see, that's how we deceive it. We think, well, they did that and this, and so I'm going to, you know, and then it's... But no, every way of man is right in his own eyes. And that's where King Asa found himself. Now I want to turn and read some scriptures in closing. In the book of Psalms, the first chapter. I want to read these verses. Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, that's where King Asa was sitting. And all those. The counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of the sinners, and sitting in the seat of the scornful. That's where we found King Asa in his latter days. But this is blessed is a man that his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. You see, that's where King Asa was at the beginning. His delight was in the law of the Lord. He's like, what are the laws and commandments? Let's abide by those. And he made all the ones of Judah, his nation, say, we're all going to promise here together. We're going to do this. And they did. They vowed to the Lord. Yep, we're going to follow the Lord. And they all did. And God blessed them. You see? In verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know that's where King Asa was in the beginning? He was prospering. God blessed him abundantly, even before he fought the Ethiopians. God had blessed him with peace, and he was active and doing things, you know, wasn't just sitting idly by and being slothful or lazy about it. He was taking advantage of what God had given him and blessed him with. And God was pleased with that. And he prospered. It should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He was flourishing, growing. But verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. You know, just recently we were raking some leaves. Well, we had the big flood a couple weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And first of all, in our front yard, we do not have any oak trees. It's all walnut trees. But guess what kind of leaves were in our ditch? Millions of oak leaves from upstream. And yet, you know, we had to get rid of them. It's no big deal. But think about this for a moment. You know, we hear the term being lost. You know, you could say those leaves, those oak leaves, they were lost. They were in a foreign place. And they were washed downstream. There was nothing they could do to stop themselves. They cut themselves loose from the tree. They had fallen. They were washed down by the floods. It was like a river down our road. And deposited in just a big mess. You know, that's the same thing that Satan is doing with souls today. Cutting them loose from the source of life, from the tree of life, from God, from the church, however you want to term it. From the source of true life and living. Cuts them loose and they fall. And then here comes the floods. And at one time, yes, that tree, that leaf, yep, I recognize, I see where it's at. But then in a matter of time, they're cut loose, they fall, they're washed downstream, and they're lost. You know, that's what Satan tries to do with every soul. Not just the souls that are out there, way out there in the depths of sin, but he's desiring to do that with all of us in here this morning. And all of our loved ones that we love and are concerned for and we're praying for. To cut us loose from the source of life and to wash us down. That's what the scripture is talking about. They're like the wind, like the chaff, what's the wind, driveth away. Just blown away and lost. Just millions of them out there, lost. They don't know where home is at. They're helpless. They're powerless. There's nothing they can do to go back upstream. It's just flowing downstream. The downward, slippery slope of sin and wickedness. And it starts with this little formula here. Starts so innocently, like with King Asa. Oh, well, this one situation, I know what's best. And I'm going to do it. And we do it. And that can be the first step, the first piece, the first part of this formula for defeat. And in the end, we continue that pattern. The pattern that King Asa followed. And in the end, all is not well. We've forsaken God, and then God forsakes us. You know, that's what happened in general with the children of Israel. That's why they went into captivity so many times. Because they would forsake the Lord. And so the question then to all of us, are we any different? Are we so special? Well, yes, we have the New Testament with the new dispensation. We have the Holy Spirit. We have Jesus and the new laws that He brought. The fulfillment of the old laws. We have everything at our fingertips. And yet, there are still people today that follow this formula for defeat. And they go down the slippery slope of sin. And they're washed down like a leaf, a helpless leaf, down the river of life, lost, when that didn't have to be the case. If they would have at some point along the way here humbled themselves before the Lord and said, Lord, I'm sorry, I made the mistake. I was one that acted rashly in this situation, took things in my own hands, tried to solve it, and it didn't work. I'm sorry, I was wrong. But no, that's hard to say. The rest of this says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. You know what that's talking about? Remember the verse I read earlier? The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth. Desiring to help those that their hearts are perfect toward Him. It says, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. When God sees our hearts turning toward Him, it's as if that little radar goes off. He's like, I see it. I know where you're at. I can help you. And the more we reach out to Him and rely upon Him and seek His face and humble down before Him saying, Lord, I need Your help. Just like King Asa did with the Ethiopians. Then the Lord's saying, I'll have mercy upon you. I'll save you. I'll help you. I'll deliver you. I'll give you victory. He knoweth the way of the righteous. He knows where we're at and how to help us. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. That's what happened to King Asa. He perished. End of story. What a sad life. He could have ended well. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. He was washed downstream and lost with all the other millions of leaves, so to speak, that are dead, lifeless. God forsook them because they forsook God. And that's where King Asa was, lost with all the others, with Cain and all the others before him that rejected King Saul. Same thing happened to him. Rejected the Lord. And in the end, he's begging, going and seeking help of a witch. Asking for other spirits to reveal to him and what to do. And he wasn't seeking the Lord. He was so foreign to him by then. He forsook God. God forsook him. Same with King Asa. It says, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So I want to challenge us this morning. Let's not follow this formula for defeat. How King Asa ended. Let's follow the formula for victory. And remember what those were again? Let me read those again. Follow God's laws and His commandments. Remember His covenants. Remember our vows that we've made to the Lord. Remember the times that God had mercy upon us and delivered us. Remember those things. Don't forget them. Then number two, we find ourselves, God is blessing us. Let's take advantage of those blessings. And let's build upon those things. Let's take action and prove to the Lord that, Lord, thank You for saving me. Thank You for delivering me. Thank You for the victories. Now, what can I do for You? You see, God wants to see that. He doesn't want to see us just sit back, well, I'll just kind of rock along here. I'm blessed of the Lord. He saved me and this is great and wonderful. That's not good enough. You might eventually find yourself cut loose like that leaf from the source and you'll fall. You'll be washed downstream. But we need to be up and doing for the Lord. Then the third thing, when we find ourselves in the heat of the battle, in a predicament, faced with a mountain obstacle that we can't surpass and overcome on ourselves, by ourselves, let's not say, well, what can I figure out here? Let's call upon the name of the Lord. Say, Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, I don't know what to do. How many times have I used the words of this song? I can't even walk without You holding my hand. You know, that's humility. That's keeping our heart perfect towards the Lord. That's a heart that God is looking out throughout the whole earth to find Himself faithful on our behalf. That's where King Asa was with the Lord. In is the beginning. So let's be encouraged this morning. Let's follow the formula for victory and not the formula for defeat. God have mercy upon our souls. You pray for me.